Good Friday morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Columns of Bosnian Serb tanks and artillery have been rolling down from the snow-covered hills around Sarajevo, thanks to a timely injection of Russian diplomacy and peacekeepers and the threat of NATO airstrikes. Bosnian Serb leader Radovan Karadzic says the withdrawal will be finished by 3 p.m. tomorrow, Pacific time, 25 hours ahead of the NATO deadline. And what works in Sarajevo, he says, can work elsewhere.
If this model be very successful, then this model could be implemented throughout Bosnia and Herzegovina.
The UN Special Bosnia Envoy, Yashushi Akashi, says peacekeepers will soon be in place to verify the Sarajevo pullback.
Starting tomorrow noon, the UNPROFOR armed elements will be controlling the seven sites.
Correspondent Barry Peterson has more from Sarajevo.
The clear indication this morning is that the Serbs are complying in a big way with the UN ultimatum. In fact, a visit to Lukovica barracks in a Sarajevo suburb, the main Serb staging area, was proof positive. A line of tanks, a dozen of them, there for the UN to see as they pulled away, either out of the exclusion zone or under UN control. The UN says today they're optimistic, and the Serbs say they are agreeable to having this NATO deadline met. If that's true, it would mean no airstrikes. The people of Sarajevo are not so sure. They've heard a lot of promises before. Their attitude is, we'll believe it when we see it. Barry Peterson, CBS News, Sarajevo.
This is Cindy Kennard in Moscow. Word that Russian troops will be deployed around Sarajevo is being met with both applause and concern here. For President Boris Yeltsin, he has scored a badly needed diplomatic coup. Airstrikes would have meant Yeltsin would have had to condemn them and anger the West, or face nationalists at home who protested loudly and rejected any bombing of the Serbs they call their Slav brothers. Today, the loudest voice in Russia's parliament, Vladimir Zhirinovsky, praised the Russian plan.
No war, no crisis, and no trouble for Europe and whole of the world. It's good.
1,200 of Russia's crack troops have been stationed in Croatia, and Russia's foreign minister is now discussing how many would be moved to the outskirts of Sarajevo. Still, there is concern over the safety of the troops, with many worrying what would occur should just one Russian soldier be injured or killed. Cindy Kennard, CBS News, Moscow.
Israeli and PLO negotiators said in Taba, Egypt today it will take two more weeks to resolve outstanding issues on police, prisoners, and civilian government matters. In The Hague, PLO chief Arafat was asked if final agreement can be signed in a month.
It has to. Otherwise, it would be the whole peace process will be in danger.
Among the remaining differences is the size of the Palestinian police. The PLO wants a force of 10,000 with 100 armored vehicles. The Israelis want a limit of 6,000 police and 30 armored vehicles. Top State Department officials deny they tried to discourage the release of Russian documents on Americans captured in Vietnam. A classified cable given to the New York Times indicates Russian officials complained of getting mixed messages from the Americans on the POW issue. POW activists say supporters of normalizing relations with Vietnam were afraid incriminating Russian documents might derail that process. American speed skater Dan Jansen, skating in the last race of his jinxed Olympic career, finally won a gold medal today, setting a world record in the 1,000-meter race. Jansen's wife, Robin, sobbed for joy in the stands, and the Greenville, Wisconsin skater later confessed he had his doubts.
I didn't feel real solid on the ice in warm-up, and so I said, just skate. Don't push too hard. Just relax, and whatever happens is going to happen. I can't believe it.
Nancy Kerrigan and Tanya Harding were out on the practice ice again today. Harding fell several times and is favoring a bad ankle. She's called a news conference for this hour. With government approval, a British clinic will now provide the RU486 abortion pill to American and other non-resident women who can afford the ticket to London plus a $500 charge. Helen Axby runs the Marie Stopes Health Clinic in London.
This is the first time that we've had a real clarification over the status of non-resident women, which of course includes American women, and this was in response to another query that we'd received from the United States.
The RU486 pill is not available in the U.S. Suicide doctor Jack Kevorkian is going to trial in Detroit in an assisted suicide case. A recorder's court judge this morning refused to dismiss the one remaining count against Kevorkian. He set an April 19th trial date. The defense has rested in the federal murder trial of 11 Branch Davidians. Jim Forsyth of WOAI San Antonio is covering.
Lawyers will gather later today to go over the instructions that will be provided to the jury when it begins its deliberations next week. Defense lawyers will argue that the cult members on trial were just defending themselves, and Catherine Madison, a 25-year Davidian who was in the compound during the shootout last February, says self-defense is just what it was.
All the ammunition they shot at us, so much so that it was going over the hair of some of the girls' heads that was laying on the aisle in the second floor. I think that, you know, if I had a gun and I went and shot out the window, I think I had a right to.
Lawyers introduced 1,500 pieces of evidence and jurors heard from nearly 140 witnesses during the six-week-long trial. Jim Forsyth for CBS News, San Antonio.
In Austin, Texas, a 23-year state employee fired after being accused of running a prostitution ring from his office was found shot to death today in what police say was an apparent suicide. There were reports James Bunch's clients included prominent Texans. In Cape Girardeau, Missouri, two more fraternity brothers have been charged in the apparent beating death of fraternity pledge Michael Davis in a hazing ritual. 7 of the 10 Kappa Alpha Psi members at Southeast Missouri State are now jailed. Night became day last night on the U.S.-Mexican border at San Diego, and 3.5 miles of new lights were switched on. Border Patrol Chief Gusta Lavinia.
This has been a very violent area. It'll be able to allow us to operate in daylight operations, more or less, rather than stumbling out in the dark.
KNX newsman Tom Riopel has more on the $470,000 lighting job.
The lights take about 10 minutes to actually warm up. They come on very dimly at first and then get quite a bit brighter. And by the time they're up to full speed, it's bright enough out there probably to play baseball. The Border Patrol people think that this is going to work. In the past, they've used lights, and whenever they've used them at certain portions along the border, people have shied away from that area and gone to other sections to cross.
It's 8 minutes past. A single garbled line of computer code gave New York's chemical bank fits yesterday. The faulty new software posted withdrawals twice so that someone taking $100 from an automatic teller machine had $200 deducted from her account. The problem affected more than 100,000 customers.
It's very scary, and if you don't keep a close eye on your account and the statements that you get back in the mail, you know, they could be taking a lot of money from us without us knowing.
Chemical spokesman Ed Hers said no real harm was done.
The worst thing that could happen, I think, in a situation like this is if a check that you wrote were to bounce as a result of that error, and obviously it's our error, and we will make sure that those checks do not bounce.
However, some customers complained that their checks did bounce. Japanese lawmakers, afraid what a U.S. trade war might do, have urged Prime Minister Hosokawa to move quickly to cut Japan's $60 billion trade surplus. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials are down 8.73. It's 10 past the hour.